1787, and change of, and conditional use number 2033 BRDP LLC. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1787, I'm sorry, conditional use 2033 or change of zone 1787? Okay, let's start all the way over here and then we'll come to this side.
Good evening. My name is Greg Pinto. I am a resident of Lewis Crossings.
Okay.
I live at 514 William Dorsey Street, and I do appreciate you guys hearing us out.
Sure.
I apologize for my attire, and I apologize I don't have books and charts and graphs and anything like that.
You're wearing a shirt. You got shoes on?
Yes, sir, I do.
You're good to
and
go.
I didn't kill a buck. Anyway, I don't know if any of you guys have been in Lewis Crossing, but there are seven phases. Phases 1, 2, and 3 are complete. 4 is underway. 5 and 6 are scheduled to be, roads are supposed to be put in next year at some time.
Okay.
Phase 7 is not under construction, but there is an entrance there.
Later. Yeah.
In reference to the new Lewis Crossing, the village at Lewis Crossings, I don't know if anybody's been there between 7:30 and 8 o'clock in the morning due to the traffic. I noticed that there's only one exit, right exit, to get out of this Lewis Crossing, Villas of Lewis Crossings, and the crossing across the street to enter it, somebody's going to get killed there if those people try to come across Route 9. There's no red lights, traffic's 55, 60 miles an hour, and it's and with the 600, and I'm surprised, Michael, that there's 1,000 homes down in Coastal, but we were told it's 600. That's a lot of traffic going down that road, right? I had no idea when we bought here that they were going to combine associations. I was told 192 homes, 140 on one side, 52 in phase 7. That's the numbers I was told. Nobody ever said anything about townhouses, condos, duplexes, twins. Nothing like that was ever mentioned to me. So we were ever never disclosed that when we bought this home. Otherwise, my wife and I wouldn't have bought here because that's the reason we didn't buy in Coastal, because they have that situation down there. Right, they're going to have single-family homes, duplexes, condos. That's not what we want. We want a retirement community, a safe community, and people just keep putting more traffic, more people in this little combined space, and somebody's going to get hurt there. As far as you know, I didn't know we were going to share, as one, the HOA fees with Lewis Crossings. Am I correct? Is that what's really going to happen? We're all going to be one... Is there going to be one HOA or is it going to be two separate HOAs? I understand about Phase 7 and Lewis Cross and the Villas of Lewis could be tied together. I understand that. And I understand that we have our own HOAs.
Right. Well, your phase will probably have its own that will address the items that are just specific to your phase. There's usually a master, which the gentleman did testify that there would be a master association that will cover usually covers a broader range of elements that are used by everybody. There will be fees associated, you know, with that too. And these large developments where you have multiple phases and so on, it gets a little complicated sometimes. But the goal generally is that whatever you are using, you know, you're paying for. Whoever is using that amenity, that road, whatever, is contributing to its maintenance. And that's why you have these multiple associations, because not everybody is going to be
right.
paying for everything.
Right.
Things that are peculiar to yours, you'll be taken care of, and then there'll be this larger one. And sometimes there might be, you know, two or even three different associations that you as a unit owner are contributing to. But the whole idea is supposed to be so that everyone pays for whatever they're using and not paying for what they're not using.
So
to the greatest extent possible.
So as to my understanding then is the village of Lewis Crossings can come over to Lewis Crossings and use our pool.
I believe that was that's the idea, but I'll find out for.
I appreciate that, Robert.
And
I can tell you right now,
yeah.
That pool can't even hold the people, the 142 homes, through phases 1 through 6. Right.
Okay.
I can tell you
that. Looks
like
another pool is going in this thing if they get it, so maybe that'll take care of some of that traffic.
Okay, I do appreciate you guys listening to me. Again, I apologize. I'm not, you know, no
books. No apology necessary. I mean, you look great.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Love the haircut, especially. Okay, yeah, who's next? Sure, come on up. Then we're going to go over this side for a couple.
Is that because of your lack of?
Because I'm just jealous that he has hair and I don't.
I was just checking.
Oh, geez.
In fact, I kind of like anybody's hair. That's so all right. I'm over it. It gives me a good excuse to wear a hat. You know, I like hats, so it's all good.
So, again, thanks for hearing us. My name is Peter Swartow.
Okay.
My wife and I are also residents of Lewis Crossing, Phase 2, I think it was.
Okay.
And I don't want to, I know you said don't be repetitive, but I wanted to just expand a little bit on what Greg said.
We'll tolerate a little bit. Go ahead.
My wife and I should say my wife, did a lot of research in the Delaware area, especially the Lewis Rehoboth area, to decide where we wanted to buy.
Right.
A lot of research. And one of the key things she said, I want to live with single family homes.
Yeah.
I don't want to live with his taller buildings or townhouses or duplex or a big mansion or whatever else. Single family homes. Mm-hmm. And we asked that question a couple of times deliberately.
Yeah.
And we told seven phases, 192 single family homes, period. Okay. What I wanted to add to that is a couple of months ago, thereabouts, I had first heard about something maybe happening in that parcel just east of us,
right,
which is this parcel.
Right.
And that it could be townhouses or duplexes or whatever else. So I went to the selling agent, the lady who told us all about the property and told us what it is and isn't, Rachel Tolliver, at the model. And I asked about this.
Right.
And I was told definitively, oh, no, that parcel's east of here. If anything happens with that, it has nothing to do with Lewis Crossing. It's a totally separate development. I said, all right, well, I guess that answers the question. Now, maybe she doesn't know. I don't know what she knows or doesn't know. I can just tell you what she told me. And she said, no, totally separate. Don't worry about it. I said, well, you better tell the crowd, because a lot of stuff going around about it, and turns out it was a legitimate concern. And I'm glad we had a chance to speak our minds about it.
Okay.
Just one thing I want to add. That intersection, it seems to be a lot of people know how bad it is, and everybody's kind of be like, no, nothing's going to be done about it anytime soon. But between Coastal Club, Lewis Crossing, more houses, just with the original plan, and more developments even further west, we're pouring more and more in into an intersection where everybody's kind of said, yeah, it's really crappy. So, you know, I'm concerned about the danger of it even more than the inefficiency of it, because you've got cars doing this and backing up. So I know that's getting a little redundant.
Well, as you know, the Delaware Department of Transportation is a state agency.
Yep.
Our state representatives have control of those agencies. And I would encourage you to call your representative, maybe when you get home tonight.
Absolutely.
Maybe wait till about 11. Call.
Midnight?
Well, it'd have more impact, you know. He'll remember you.
Well, you might be watching a football game. I'll make it like 1 o'clock in the morning.
And when you get a chance, and I'm joking
about
the time, but I am serious about the phone call.
Yes.
I think it isn't anything that the county can control. And we sense your frustration. And we feel your pain on that. So I would encourage you to make your feelings known to to your state representative.
Well, I didn't know it was a DOT, so now that we know that, we know.
See, in Delaware, there are no county roads. All the roads are state roads.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you do have the decision whether more and more should get pumped into that road.
Well, we have a process we go through, which is sort of what we're doing tonight.
Yep.
So,
yep. Right. Thanks. Okay. Thanks again.
Yes, indeed. Yes, sir. Okay, over here. Yes, sir. Come on up. Blue shirt.
My name's Gary Brenner. My wife and I live in Lewis Crossings.
Okay.
And
you live together?
Sometimes. Only when she's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't bring it in deeper.
Uh-huh. If I were you, I'd back right off that. Moving on. Yes.
Moving on. I want to compliment this group on the questions you've asked. The questions you're asking are all the right questions. I come from early 70s of being in design and construction environment. Just to give you a little background on it, 13 years with the Smithsonian Institution as Design and Construction Office, 16 years with State Department building embassies all over the world, and since 2009 with the Army Corps of Engineers building very large facilities, and just recently returned from building new NATO headquarters in Brussels. You're asking the right questions. But when I hear folks come up in front of you and use terms like trying to do, we feel, they, we might be able to, it sends up flags. These are things that should be known if you're going to pursue a development, adding to a development that already exists. There's a fiduciary responsibility with all that. And what that leads me to is, who are the members of this LLC? Are they the same members as Lewis Crossing, the prime members, principals? And that's a question I direct, because I'm very curious now. Another question is traffic studies. I heard someone say, I believe it was you, Mr. Robertson, that said they're not required. That's something that's...
No, I don't know that I said that. I don't believe I did. DLDOT determines whether one is required or not. What they have done in this case is...
Actually, it was DLDOT that said that there would not be one required, and in lieu of that, the applicant is will pay into a fund for a regional traffic study that DLDOT will do at some point in the future, which okay. I would encourage them to get a receipt for that $5,300.
Well, that leads me to the question of $5,300 for a traffic study.
Oh, no.
We have not done a study in my 45 years under $250,000.
Let me assure you that $5,300 is but a very small piece of what DLDOT is collecting towards this study that they're going to have someday. I would suspect they may have $250,000 of it already. It's hard to tell because everybody keeps being tapped for it, and as the question was raised earlier, we're not exactly sure where the money resides or how it's going to be dispersed or how much is even there. So these are all good questions for you to ask your state representative when you call him when you get home tonight.
Just
to be clear, that $5,300, that's not a figure that's set by the county. In other words,
no,
we don't come in and
say, yeah, that's a number.
It's
a calculation based on the number of trips. Not exactly sure what it is, but we do know it has a relationship to the number of trips that a proposed development will generate or is purported to generate.
Okay, well, that leads to the question that Mr. Burton asked. You know, if you have 80 units, you have 30 trips a day, you got a lot of people sleeping all day or something. I mean, any community I've ever seen.
I thought the number was 63.
Yeah, 30 round trips.
Seems light, doesn't it?
That, I think that's suspect, that number. It may be published somewhere and it may be pulled out of a catalog. But as we all know, you can find any catalog you want to support
math.
Your numbers.
That's new math.
That's new math? Okay, I'll buy that. Well, in summary, we have the people of Lewis Crossing that bought there. This was not disclosed at time of buying. I'm pretty sure a very high number would not have bought there had it all been disclosed. There's reasons why people want to be there. And mainly is because the majority of the people there are full-time residents. They're not coming on weekends. They're not going somewhere else and then coming back. They're full-time. So community is very important to the overall group. As important to it as the community is the fact that their fees for HOAs don't skyrocket when you start taking care of all the roads, all the lighting, for a lot of other people in a high-density area. We have seen no numbers. We've heard a lot of and I'm going to use this term loosely, lip service. Lip service to me means absolutely nothing. The numbers mean something. So I think we need to all take a real good look at what we're seeing here and the impact of it. So I do want to thank all of you for your interest in this and the fact that y'all are a pretty sharp bunch. I'm rather impressed with this group.
Well, we all live in houses too, so.
Okay.
It's the same thing. But before you go, I do have to ask you one thing that is absolutely not related to any of this. You said you were in the embassy building business. Were you in Nicaragua in 1973? Did you build that embassy?
No, but I was in Islamabad when they blew my hotel up.
Okay. Now, so I have a peripheral involvement in that 1973 project, that's all.
Yeah, there's. In fact, I was just about all over the world. I've been involved in it one time or another.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. Come on up.
My name is John Zoislak, and I live on Malon Court in Lewis Crossing. And a couple of points I want to make. First of all, when we're talking about the traffic issues in that area, I think you need to define that we're really talking about two intersections, not only Route 9 and Route 1, which, as you know, is a big problem, no news to you, but we're also talking about the smaller intersection, which I'll refer to as the Lowe's intersection, and that's right at the end of Beaver Dam Road, and that's an extremely dangerous mini intersection there. So we're just to clarify, we're talking about issues with traffic on two intersections there. And now again, we're talking about converting the church into a restaurant brewery there, which I don't think is such a bad idea. I like to see that history preserved. But again, you're talking about more cars coming in that little mini circle there. And I don't think, as I'm sure you agree, we can keep ignoring that there's no studies being done, so we'll just overlook that and keep approving density. I think you have to start to take a stand and know that you're pretty much at capacity. And looking at what's going on there with 600 homes at Coastal, you have Ridings there with 225 homes. Now we're seeing Heron Bay start to rebuild there again. That's about 300 and some homes. You have a cornfield for sale on Beaver Dam. That's 70 plus acres, which I'm assuming is going to be zoned for homes. We have 192 homes in Lewis Crossing. And then there's three new developments at the end of Route 23 that just started down in there, 55 plus. And they're going to be using Beaver Dam Road too to access Route 1. So I'm very, very concerned with the traffic safety on that road, especially that small Lowe's intersection there. I'm not for increasing density at all in that area. I think it's such a critical area there. There is a lot of confusion here with owners at Lewis Crossing. They were sold as 192 luxury homes, but it wasn't disclosed that there would be townhomes or duplexes or whatever being attached in there. And I guess I do, again, have some concerns with the funky road system in there and how that's going to impact people on Francis Anne. There's about 28 homes there that are going to be directly impacted by the increase of flow from the villas coming in there or leaving there to make a left-hand turn on Beaver. And I think it is going to create a hardship, some safety issues, and a lot of complaints that we're going to hear from residents. They are going to pay the highest prices for single-family homes in Phase 7. So I'm very concerned about the roads in there. I guess the term master HOA was new to me, because our HOA docs don't say anything about us being involved in a master. I am concerned with how these two HOAs are going to interact, the expenses, the sharing of amenities, who's paying for what. That really wasn't disclosed. It's not in the HOAs that I have.
Do you have control of your HOA at this point? Do the homeowners actually have control of it?
We just started an advisory group this week, in fact, which I'm a member of, but there are not enough homes sold in there yet.
So the developer still has control?
Yes.
I would just suggest that you ask for a meeting with the developer and you ask him to thoroughly explain the HOA documents to you so that you can understand what your ultimate responsibilities might be. And that's certainly a reasonable request, and I'm sure he'd be willing to accommodate.
And I'll take it one step further. I mean, at the time you purchased the property, the restrictive covenants which established the HOA, they're recorded documents downstairs in the recorded deed. So they're in your chain of title and should have been provided to you when you purchased. They're certainly of record, and you're subject to them. It'd be worth everybody here, because it's coming up, pulling those and taking a look at them and seeing exactly what they say, because there's been representations that it's an expandable HOA, and there's been sort of, I think, assumptions by everybody what it may or may not say, but it's going to be bright and black and white what it does in fact say, and it's worth taking a read of those for everybody.
Sure. Well, we question the property management company who's representing them right now. They're working for the HOA, which is the developer, but they're not even aware, I mean, of what was going on there. So it's hard to get information right now.
I understand. And a lot of times.
A lot of gray area.
Well, what happens is these documents get written and recorded, and then no one looks at them again until, you know, there's a problem or a question or a concern. And, of course, while it's under development, it is understandably under the control of the developer, and that at some point, you know, he'll turn that over when enough homes have been sold in 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Nobody's looked at the documents in 3, 4, 5, 6 years. So everybody's forgotten. So my advice is, please go get them out, get a clarification, hire an attorney if you have to help you figure it out. But I'm sure the developer would be willing to sit with you and talk with you. You know, I would hope so, and the management company too. And it would be good for them.
So that's my thoughts, some of our feelings, and I guess we're all very concerned. A lot of this is a surprise to us, and a lot of people here brought up some good points that we knew nothing about. So it's been
that's why we have the process.
A good meeting. So again, we have some concerns. We have some concerns for future owners over there on Francis, and I think it's too much traffic in there on roll curb streets with sidewalks. These are very narrow streets in here. So I'm very concerned with the safety over there. And again, when we start talking about the intersections, we're talking about two intersections there. That's a bad stop sign down there where I call it the Lowe's intersection. It's really tricky down there, so thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak in opposition? Going once. Going twice. Okay, here we go. Come on up. Everybody loves an auction.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Robin Murray. I am an owner in Lewis Crossing, Lot 49, Phase 2.
Okay.
When you said we weren't supposed to be repetitive, did you mean we weren't supposed to repeat what somebody else already said?
Well, I'll tell you what. Since you're here, you just take a shot at it, and we're going to listen to you.
Okay, thank you. Because if your answer was, no, you're not supposed to be repetitive, I would suggest that we could just ask people to raise their hands who have all the same sentiments that you've already heard voiced here.
We might do that.
Okay, cool. Up to you.
Yes, it is.
I'm very concerned. It is, isn't it? About the fact that it was not disclosed that there would be any villas or townhouses when I bought in Lewis Crossing. It was between, for me, I shopped a long time. I wanted to downsize, moving from Winding Creek Village, and I was down to two different locations after shopping in many places, and it was the Villas of Wood Cove. If I wanted to be in a villa and have no maintenance, no yard maintenance, or Lewis Crossing, because they were single family homes where I didn't have to do anything to the yard. I could get a house and not have to do anything. So I bought a house in a housing development of single family homes, luxury homes, that wasn't supposed to have any villas. 192 houses, that was it. So, number one. Number two, concern of sharing amenities, hence the confusion over responsibility of expenses and exorbitant expenses escalating with the wear and tear on our clubhouse. If ours is the bigger one, it's going to be more wear and tear on it. It's the one that people want to use more.
But they need to be paying their share.
Yes, and I appreciate the questions that you've asked. You've raised questions that some of us hadn't thought of that were deep. As you can see, you've done your homework. I appreciate that. I'm also highly concerned about the traffic. I totally avoid that Lowe's intersection. I cut through Henlopen Landing because it is, as they've reiterated, very dangerous. So you have 5 points, as you know. You have the Lowe's intersection. And now, if this project goes through, we have our intersection with the people from Coastal Club coming our way. So I want to thank you for hearing us out today. I want to thank you for all the presentations, and I hope the concerns are duly noted.
They are indeed. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just for everyone's benefit, I want to speak a little bit to this issue about disclosure, because I think I'm the one that used the word, and at the time, I have to confess, I was a little bit confused about the order of things and what was happening. It's certainly a fair statement to say that one cannot disclose what one doesn't know. And in a lot of instances when these types of things are taking place, at the time, they really don't know what's going to happen on adjacent parcels. Now, I would suggest to you, if you've been visiting Sussex County for any period of time, you know there's a lot of development going on here. And if there is a big empty field between two housing developments, there's a pretty good chance that something might happen someday, because our land use plan encourages that. It encourages what's called infill. When you build between, you build where developments are already. Whether or not that is a good thing, we don't have time to debate this evening. However, you have an opportunity coming up, beginning probably late next year and into 2017, and it's called the 2018 Land Use Plan Update. It's when that plan that lays out what the strategy is gets renegotiated, so to speak. And you will see advertisements for public hearings about the land use plan. And I want to encourage you to participate in that process, because it is pretty much your chance, and in some cases your only chance, to really influence land use policy in your county. And you should be there, if for no other reason, because these guys are going to be there, okay? And I don't have anything against these guys. They're nice people. They live in houses and have families and kids and dogs and cats too, just like the rest of us. But you should be there and have your concerns heard, and that's the best chance of being able to influence policy is going to be at that point in time. So with that, I will ask, is there anybody else that would like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions, any further questions? Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
You never let me down.
On occasion, I might, but.
Okay. Mr. Schrader, I believe you're up.
I do have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
But I do have a comment before that, because, I know a lot of times people think that things were planned ahead of time or were in the works, when really what I see in your booklet that was provided to us, that the deed was made out on the 23rd of October of 2014. So this isn't property that the developer has owned for years and thought, I'm just going to tuck this aside. So
that is correct.
Just in all fairness and disclosure, it is in the exhibit booklet.
It is.
But my question is, why aren't you why isn't this being, and now perhaps the developer needs to speak to this, but why isn't this being developed as a separate entity? There's plenty of road frontage there in order to have an entrance, and Del Dot in his good graciousness would grant it. But the way this is being designed, it's like an entity within a bigger entity. I'm hearing all these complaints about folks that are from the bigger entity, and I understand why. I understand their concerns. So why wouldn't this be a separate project in and of itself?
And it could be. And it could be. It could come to pass that the entrance through Phase 7 is solely an easement for this project, and this project could be treated as a separate entity, and there would be no interrelationship between the Villas of Lewis Crossing and the Lewis Crossing phases that have spoken this evening that are already in connection. That could possibly happen.
But why not have your own entrance and exit on the Beaver Dam Road instead of a right out only? Why not?
Let's go
have
back
a full
to,
blown.
Let's go back to traffic, Mr. Johnson.
I know where that's headed.
We're better off having all of us having the one entrance and one exit onto Beaver Dam Road through Phase 7 than having two separate entrances, one now closer to.
So now you have half of an entrance.
But only a right in.
You got a right in, but is it a right in, right out?
No, it's a right. This is the right out.
It's a right out.
Just a right out.
Just a right in?
Out.
Right out only. At coming out of the Villas of Lewis Crossing.
So again, looking at the distance to the nearest intersection.
Can I speak?
Sure. Please do.
On the existing side right now, the phases one through six, there's approximately 150 homes there that has the same exact entrance and same features, not features, but the same design, traffic flow patterns as that's built in phase seven to accommodate 42 homes. So the flows are the same. So we, DelDOT is actually one suggesting that we use that and have the right in, right out. Even with the 80 and the 42, we're still fewer than 150 across the street. Using the phase seven access.
You have a separate LLC set up.
Yes.
For this project.
And after tonight, I think we have to take that under consideration. Keep that separate, have a road share plan, and let them use their own amenities. And that's something we're gonna take into consideration because there were a lot of good points made of that. But I just can't give you a confirmation right this minute.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, sir. Right. Can I just make an observation?
You may.
I'm sitting here listening to this.
Yeah.
If you go back in time, probably 8 to 10 years, we'd probably be sitting here with a DelDOT requirement that Lewis Crossing, Villas Lewis Crossing, Henlopen Landing, and Gosling Creek, and whatever the other one is, Sea Chase or Seawood Estates, would all be interconnected by requirement without any cost-sharing agreement. So it just kind of the irony of it is that we're here, we've done away with that, and now we're back talking about interconnectivity, basically, and who's going to pay for it.
May I comment?
But that was something that DelDOT was mandating, and there's a lot of dead-end streets and a lot of developments you'll see for interconnectivity. So.
There was a time many years ago when I sat in Mr. Robertson's chair, and I think maybe you were here, Mr. Chairman.
I was here.
I know Mr. Lank was here, and there was a gentleman by the name of Eli Cooper who worked for the Department of Transportation. And if you take a look at everything between Route 1 and Plantations Road, every one of those projects was required to dedicate rights of ways for interconnectivity between all of the various projects, whether they were single family, multifamily, golf course when it came to Heritage Golf Course. And it was basically set up to be city blocks gridded out. And Mr. Robertson's point is well made. At one time, that was the requirement.
Which would have been fine if the streets were publicly maintained.
Right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you can see very quickly what a nightmare that would be if you had interconnectivity between every development and you had everybody's brother running through your development, using your street, and not contributing anything to its maintenance.
Like we heard last Thursday night.
Yeah. Why our Department of Transportation couldn't figure that out, I'll never tell you. But they didn't ask us, I guess. But anyway, fortunately, that did get fixed. They did figure it out. And everyone lived somewhat happily ever after. Okay, anyone else? Any other questions?
I have one.
Sure, go ahead.
Do we know the date of
when this application goes in front of county council? Is it January 20, 2016?
January 5th.
January 5th. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. And while Mr. Smith is pointing that out, just for those of you who may not be completely familiar with the process, is there's another hearing. This body makes a recommendation to county council. Then county council has their own hearing, which is going to take place on January 5th. So I would encourage you, if you possibly can, to be there as well. It will be somewhat repetitive, but we never know. Sometimes the applicant puts on a completely different different show than they do for us, and we're making a recommendation. Doesn't mean county council has to follow it. So this is kind of a two-part thing here, so it's double your pleasure, double your fun.
Before everybody leaves, I think there's maybe an update on that.
The public hearing for before county council has not been scheduled as of yet.
Okay.
So another notice will be sent out to all the property owners within 200 feet to let them know of when the public hearing before county council. It was tentatively scheduled, but something happened that it did not happen that way. You will receive a letter in the mail letting you know of the date.
Yeah. Just for everybody's benefit, so that you don't think there's something going on. One of our council members had an illness and has had a prolonged absence. And so rather than have four of the five council members hear the application, which could lead to a potentially unusual vote, they want to wait until there's a full council so that everybody gets a fair shake and everybody gets an opportunity to hear it. So that's why it's off for the 5th and it'll be a later date. It's a little bit unusual circumstance with that, but that's because of the unusual circumstances affecting one of our council members.
Mr. Chairman, if I might add,
sure.
For folks here, the Cape Gazette does a very good job of publicizing when hearings are coming up before the county council, and I suspect that if you read some of Ron MacArthur's columns, you might see that there's a hearing coming up.
And the county does have a very excellent website that will have all that information as well. So you can also stop in on the county website once in a while, and all the scheduling is there, and so you'll know exactly what's up. Now we were asked about a show of hands, so we'll go ahead and do that. Those who are in favor, well, that didn't take long. We know you guys are okay. It's okay. It's all good. And then we have one in favor. Good. And then
No.
Okay.
No, I wanted to say something. No.
We're kind of done with that. Yeah. Sorry about that. If it's not repetitive, you can come up and say it, because we technically we have not closed the public hearing. So come on, I don't want anybody to feel like they didn't get their day.
Okay, Ruth Ann Pinto, and I live at Lewis Crossing.
All right.
You had said something about the price of the housing. Is this low-income housing, these duplexes?
No,
they said it was not.
No. Okay, they aren't.
No.
Okay, so no. and are these going to be able to be rented? Because I know in our section, in the other development, Lewis Crossing, if you wanted to rent out your house, it would have to be long-term, like a year. Mm-hmm. So
that's more of a contractual issue. We don't get into that. That's dealt with.
No, but that would be under, like, their condo.
Yeah, and
their HOA. If they're going to have their own HOA separate from ours.
That's not a county issue. We don't get into it.
That's a whole, because then why would they be in with our HOA if they're going to rent out theirs and we're going to have a bunch of renters running in their pool and our pool? And do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wanted to bring that up.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, then. Anyone else? All right, then. Now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for your patience and your participation. I'm
opposed.
Oh, that's right. Opposed. I never got to the opposed. Opposed. Yeah. There's a few. Yeah. Golly, day, our attorney's going to have to take off his shoes and socks.
12.
Got it? 12.
Okay.
You don't want us to stand?
We got him. Thank you.
Yep.
We got him. Thank you. Before we close the public hearing, I'm sure that you are welcome to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. But before we adjourn, we do have other business that we're going to proceed with, so we're going to ask you, if you're not remaining, to please leave quickly and quietly. I know you want to talk to each other, and you feel free to do so out in the lobby. Okay, we'll close the public hearing and look forward to seeing you again sometime. All right, that completes our public hearings for the evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we have six items of